Next week, Llewellyn's Pub will be announcing details on how to participate in their Redbird Summer Sweepstakes starting May 31st. Throughout the summer, they will be giving away 12 amazing prizes, including a trip for two to spring training with Inside STL and a chance to be the station's correspondent, as well as a distillery tour and whiskey tasting in Louisville for two. For info on how to enter, follow them on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram, or at llewellynspub.com. Make Llewellyn's your home for all the games this summer. For more details, visit any of their six locations or at llewellynspub.com.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and inside STL.com.
Yo, STL, let's win it. Blues, blues, baby. Pay attention and listen. The Blues are back and they're on a mission.
Stand have you guys done one of these that came over yet?
We haven't, thankfully.
The Blues are the best. I heard you say thankfully.
Oh, heck no. The Sky Trade Center roof is going to blow. Stars need a scene and a pass to Broward.
That's a nice
maybe
effort.
Do,
maybe,
a fine effort.
Maybe take Kid and Play, plug in some blues lyrics. Boom. What you did is you trump one of the other stations.
Yeah. Love him,
I hate him. Don't the Blues keep down. Hashtag Young MC, maybe.
No, does it have to be that rap stuff?
I think so. For St. Louis, yes.
I don't think it does.
Blues fans love rap.
I don't know. I don't know that that's the case at all. If you got 19,000 fans in there last night, I don't know that the rap would have been the music of choice for that group.
Disagree. I think you like to generalize people.
All right. You think all the 50-something businessmen who paid $200 for their ticket all go home and listen to rap?
Or you? Hip-hop, yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Most.
We're going to be joined at 7 or 8:45 by Jeremy Roenick. 905 Kelly Chase, presented by GFI Digital. Right now, it is our pleasure to welcome to the Appliance Discounter phone lines, Terry Yake. Terry, good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Disappointing performance last night in the third period in particular. Blues up 3-2 late in the second. Unfortunately, the Sharks able to get that power play goal to tie it. Both Ken Hitchcock from the Blues side, Joe Thornton from the Sharks side said that was the goal because the Sharks were able to go into the second intermission feeling some momentum, and we saw that momentum carry over within the first 20 seconds of the third. Your thoughts in particular on that goal, Terry, on the mistakes the Blues made in the PK there, and if you thought that was the most important goal of the night?
Well, obviously they're all important. They all count on the board the same, outside of the two empty netters, which you know don't matter once the game's out of reach. But it is a momentum swing. We talked about momentum in this series a lot, and it's extremely important. And throughout the game, maybe not so much game to game anymore. These guys have done a wonderful job, both teams, resetting the game once it's over and coming back and staying focused. We'll hope the Blues can do that in Game 6 and go out there and put together a plan that says we're just going to win one game, and then from there we'll see what happens. And that would put us to a Game 7, which I would say is a 50-50 coin flip to who wins that. But the goal was critical because it's the same old guys again for the Sharks getting the job done. And unfortunately, their best player right now, Pavelski or Thornton or Burns, which is the three-headed monster, Thornton hits Pavelski and they connect. And unfortunately, we haven't found that magic goal from Tarasenko lately, and that maybe was the difference. I mean, the role players have done a wonderful job for the Blues. The role players for they've probably outplayed the secondary players of the Sharks, but the best players for the Sharks have been the best players, and that's really been the difference so far this series.
What do you see from Tarasenko? What do you think's going on there? Is it something the Sharks are doing? Is he just in a bad stretch, or do you think there might be something else?
Well, bad stretches are stretches for a guy like Tarasenko that shouldn't last as long as they've lasted. He's not getting the shots. He's not getting the quality opportunities. Certainly, you've got to give the Sharks some credit for what they do. There's no question they're doing a good job on him. I see them often send two guys after him. There's two guys hitting him in the corner. There's a guy tracking him when he touches the puck and carries it up the ice. The defenseman continues to front him. There's no room for him. He's got to find his wingers. He's got to trust that they can do a job for him. And lately, you know, he's more of a shooter, not much of a passer, and not as much of a passer. He is a good passer, but that he needs to find ways to get himself open and get the puck to somebody else and then find that hole again. He looks tired. He looks like there's a possibility he's hurt. We won't know any of the injury updates for the entire team, of course, until this is all over. But he doesn't look like he has the jump he had in the middle of the season when he was scoring goals at a torrid pace. So I don't know that you can give all the credit to the Sharks. There's some of it's going to fall back on potentially how he's doing physically. Again, I can't speculate. I don't want to speculate. I would be it would be too bad if guys are playing hurt. We know that they are. And it's always a difficult time of year when you may have more guys injured or ailing than the other team has, and it obviously throws off the balance of power very quickly and very easily.
With a guy like Tarasenko, if he is getting additional attention, and that seems to be the case with the Sharks anyway, that means that there are other opportunities for other guys on the ice with him that you may be able to exploit, and it doesn't seem that the Blues are able to do that.
Yeah, that's exactly the case, and when somebody gets double coverage, you have to have guys with them that are going to capitalize. And Jaden Schwartz, you know, he hasn't been 100% since he came back from that ankle injury, let's be honest, but he's doing his best. He had a decent game last night, scored a really nice goal. And then they've had a bit of a rotation in the middle on that line between Laterra and sometimes Steen. And then last night they found ways to get Fabry with Laterra and Tarasenko. Those guys just have to get the job done. And there is a lot of depth on the Blues, but there's been some combinations that have and haven't worked. And right now our top guy is not finding that combination that works for him. And unfortunately, that's been critical in this series. I mean, you would count on him to have some goals for us, some critical goals, some timely goals. He was pretty much the catalyst in getting us through the first round against Chicago. And right now we need some timely goals from him. And they're going to come with opportunities and they're going to come with shots, and he's just not getting enough of those.
I would think it would be a really tough call for a coach when you've got veteran players, and in Tarasenko's case, a star player, guys who got you to where you are, but they might be banged up and certainly not 100%, and you might have a healthy scratch up in the press box who is 100% and could come in there flying, kind of like what we saw with Pajarvi. How do you handle that as a coach? You just keep going with the guys even if they're banged up and not producing?
Yeah, it is a difficult situation because you look at Pajarvi and Yaskin, they came into the lineup rested, hadn't played in a month and a half. You think rust would be a major factor, but they came in and looked like the best players on the ice at times because they had that extra energy. It just goes to show you how difficult it is this time of year and how tired everybody is, from the average player right down to the star player. These guys are exhausted, and they're definitely, the intensity level is extremely high. But the pace has obviously dropped off a little bit, because when those guys come in and can show that kind of energy, it's very evident. Now, as a coach, if you're trying to get Tarasenko going, you know, maybe he's banged up a little bit. We know Fabry and Backes maybe weren't 100% last game. We saw them sit the last two periods of game four in San Jose. Those are difficult decisions, but I think you look at it going, these are the guys that got me here. If they tell you you're able to play, at least traditionally, that's what the coach does. You let them have the spot because they're the ones that earned it, and you're going to want to live and die with your best players. Even if they're 85%, 90%, they're probably still going to be more likely to get the job done than somebody that hasn't been playing for a long time. So the coach generally defaults to the guys that have been there all season and got the job done for them.
It seems to me that you go with Elliott now. That's a no-brainer. Do you agree with that?
Absolutely. No-brainer. This is why you set it up like this. This is why you did it prior to being an elimination game. Brian's had a couple days of rest now. I expect him to come out and have probably a wonderful game, to be honest with you. He's going to be more rested than... And then this is where we can have the advantage in goaltending. Jones has not been great. He's not been perfect. He's been good at times when he's needed to be. I didn't think he was wonderful last night. There was an opportunity to get a couple more on him. There was a few that squeaked through him that didn't find the back of the net. Last night, with Allen playing okay but not wonderful, I think it made that decision very easily for Coach Hitchcock, and I would very much expect to see Brian Elliott. And from here on out, these are his playoffs again. He's going to have to win the next two games to get us to the finals, And, of course, if he does that, it's pretty obvious who's going to start in the final. So it's his ride. It's been his ride all season long. I think the little break was good. We stole a game, lost a game with Jake Allen, and right now we're going to go back to Brian and see if he can get it done for us.
These guys that are tired and banged up playing with injuries, once the game starts, does the natural adrenaline make those injuries go away a little bit, or do you feel it with every stride and then the game's over, you go, oh, my God, did that hurt?
A little bit. Depends on what the injury is, and sometimes it's very frustrating because if it's a shoulder, you just can't hit or take a hit as well. You can't protect the puck. If it's a lower body injury, it clearly affects your stride. Now, you go out there and they still give it their best, but that's the difference between what we saw with Pajärvi and Yashkin coming in and the speed and the energy that they were able to give. They were able to outskate, outwork, and outplay almost everybody on the ice, both teams. And let's be honest, they're not as talented as the top players on either team, the Sharks or the Blues, but they came and played like it because they had that energy and they had no aches, no pains, no bruises, no tweaks in the low back, the hip, the shoulder. These things really do take a toll on you. And as you get further down the line, these bodies get more and more beat up. Don't forget, our guys have played every other day for almost a month and over a month and a week now. It's that's a lot of hockey along with the travel. It takes an awful toll on your body.
What tweaks for the next game would you like to see Coach Hitchcock employ?
I think actually right now, outside of putting Brian Elliott in, I don't know that there are anything that needs to be made. Assuming everybody's healthy, I mean, I guess you could look at one. I would consider a Steve Ott. I don't know what Upshaw's health is like. I think he was potentially a scratch due to his health from the last game. But are you maybe consider putting one of those two back in the lineup? Maybe a Steve Ott to see if he can't get a little more energy. Again, not that those two guys, Yashkin and Pajärvi, did anything wrong at all. I think they've been playing very well. But again, it's just about bringing a fresh body in, somebody that's had 5 or 6 days of rest and seeing if he can't provide a little bit of a spark. There's not much that needs to be done with the lineup. There was a few mistakes last night. There's a couple goals that shouldn't have happened. There was a big mistake coverage-wise on the Pavelski goal that tied the game. And then, of course, Pavelski makes an unbelievable tip that nobody's going to stop, but you've got to get him cleared in front of the net for the winner. I don't know that there needs to be done. They've got to go out and just find a little more energy than the other team. And maybe a guy here or there will make a difference, but hopefully Brian Elliott can also make the difference and make that one big save that is needed. And that game goes the other way. Instead of being 4-3 for San Jose, it's 4-3 Blues, and we're off to Game 7. That's really what you're looking for.
What did you make of the Roman Pulock meltdown there in the second period with Yaskin? Was that something that went back to the old country, or what? There had to be something more than what we saw.
Well, I couldn't listen to the broadcast and what was going on, but I don't understand how the goal scored right after that did not count. I mean, I don't think they touched the puck.
The whistle blew, right or wrong, unfortunately. The whistle did blow,
but,
and it was clear.
Yeah, why? That's
right. Right.
Because they were fighting.
Yeah, they hadn't started yet. Pulock was pushing Yashkin. He had really agreed to engage yet at that point. And the puck comes to the top of circles, and we fire one in the top of the net.
Right.
At that point, that doesn't look like it's even begin. I don't know. It was very close, but it didn't look like a fight had begun at that point. But obviously, you see the frustration. You've got guys like Yashkin providing serious energy. And we know Pulock, from being here in St. Louis for so long, is a big, strong guy, can take a hit, can give a hit. And he got frustrated. So that's another sign that maybe there's some pain there as well. And a hit got him frustrated. It hurt a shoulder. It hurt a leg. Whatever he's got ailing. These guys have been out there blocking shots for a month, 6 weeks as well. And this is a tough time of year. And sometimes you get in there and you can rub a guy the wrong way, not figuratively, but literally. And hopefully get in his kitchen. And maybe he's a guy that we can get after a little bit. And one bad penalty next game could be all you need to get that key goal in the next game.
See, I'm not overly critical, but something like that, I just don't understand whether or not you're in pain. You have to take into account the big picture. And to take a penalty there, which obviously cost him because the Blues scored, at that point, I mean, to me, it's like you're putting yourself ahead of your team and what the team's trying to accomplish. I don't get that.
Absolutely. That's the discipline that it takes from everybody, and that's the fine line that everybody walks, playing with a lot of emotion, playing with a lot of fire and desire, but still finding a way to get the job done and keep it all in check. I mean, I guess sometimes they think that the referees aren't going to call that because it's a physical game and it's been very back and forth. I mean, I thought they missed a couple blatant calls last night. They were not great again last night. Maybe not great both ways, unlike the Chicago series where it was very one-sidedly against the Blues. It's just questionable whether or not the referees are going to call it. And last night they did, and then Polak did finally lose his mind. But, you know, he's obviously frustrated, and I think that's something you might want to look at. Maybe a couple of hits from a Ryan Reeves or a Steve Ott would get in his kitchen. You get that second whack as you're skating away. There's your power play that you need to change the game.
Terry Yake with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. He's with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Final question for you. Deep down, your intuition, do we see the Blues back at Scott Trade Center on Friday night?
I think we do. I really do. Because, and honestly, like, I like our chances of winning Game 6, and I would say it's a coin flip for Game 7. And the reason being, these guys have performed very well under adversity all year. Every time their backs have been against the wall, they've come up with some sort of huge effort. I think you're going to get a very rested and focused Brian Elliott. I wouldn't be surprised if he already knows that he's playing. If he doesn't, deep down, I think he knows he's playing. You're going to get a great game out of him. And we just need somebody to step up. We've talked about Tarasenko. Schwartz scores last game. Fabry's been playing phenomenal hockey. Troy Brower's playing phenomenal hockey. I mean, we just need somebody to score a goal that is unexpected, and right now 91 is unexpected if he scores a goal, which would be a huge bonus. And we got to somehow stop the big three, and if you can do that one time, we're going to have ourselves a coin flip to see who goes to Stanley Cup Finals. So I'm still excited about watching the game tomorrow night. I like our chances.
Terry Yake with us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Always enjoy getting your analysis, Terry. Thanks so much for the time this morning. We hope to talk to you again this week.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thank you.
Thank you, Terry Yake, with us here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Yeah, how odd of a statement is it that the Blues are two wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals, and one of their best players and their best goal scorer, it would be a surprise to get a goal from him at this point.
Yeah, during the regular season, I believe he had 40, so he's scoring about every other game. So if he, under that pace, by now he'd have two or three, and maybe that makes a difference in one of the games.
And even if the Sharks say, that's the one guy who's not going to beat us, and they blanket him, there should be openings for other people, which we're not seeing them capitalize on.
No.
What would you rather have happen? The Blues lose tomorrow night, or the Blues lose at home in Game 7?
I don't like that question.
I know you don't. That's what makes me so awesome.
I'd rather have them lose Game 7 so at least they get another $8 or $9 million off the gate, probably. I don't know that it's that much, but it's got to be a lot. If you're going to go down, you may as well help the bottom line a little bit.
Go an organization that has needed a long playoff run for a long time. Honestly, I don't even like to think about it.
But that was the question, so I just gave an honest answer.
I'll say 7, and then I'll get my Malamars as my emotional
and just,
risk manager.
And just sit there.
Self-medicate.
Slump-shouldered in the corner.
Slump-shouldered. Tear in my eye.
Mm. How long would it take you to get over a series defeat?
A few days.
Really? Down in the dumps for a few days?
Yeah, I feel bad about this.
Yeah.
If it happens, but I'm not giving up yet.
I've found, and I agree with you, Doug, as you get older, the importance or the emotional impact certainly decreases. Mm. There's an indirect correlation, usually, I would think. It'd be odd if it got more important as you got older. I think, but maybe not. I don't know. What does it matter? I'm babbling. But my point is this. There have been series, whether it be the Cardinals, Blues, time, the Rams, playoff games, or Missouri games. That's where my emotional attachment is, St. Louis U in the NCAA tournament, that have really bothered me. And then there have been some where it was somewhat painless. And probably the biggest example of it being relatively painless. Want to take a guess on this? When
the Red Sox rolled?
Yes. Yeah. It was relatively painless.
That was over.
It was never even close minus game one. But then there have been others that weren't nearly as big as the World Series, 2001 NLDS Diamondbacks with that walk-off hit with Tony Womack. I think that was a team that was capable of winning the World Series. Not much offense, but some great starting pitching. I thought, I don't know how great the 2014 Cardinals were, but I just felt like it was really mismanaged, both from a roster makeup standpoint and a strategic standpoint, and they gave that away, but they were very beat up at that point with Molina's health. And then also, you know, from like a Missouri standpoint, they were a win away from the Final Four in 2002, and they missed, I think, like 50% of their free throws. And I think those bother me more because you feel like you left something out there, a bullet in the chamber, so to speak, or you shot yourself in the foot, whatever analogy one would want to make. You know, on this one, if for example, if they would have lost to the Stars, I would have, God, that's a real shame, because I think with the rosters as they were, again, Dallas not being 100%, the Blues were the better team, that would have made it tougher. At this point, if the Blues were to lose, it would be certainly incredibly disappointing. It would really bother me. I'm legitimately upset this morning, upset perhaps being too strong of a word, but down about it.
Flummoxed.
That'd be fine. Uh-huh. But, you know, the Sharks have looked like the better team. That doesn't mean that it's, like, overwhelming. I just overall, I feel like the Sharks have looked like the better team and, for the most part, have played better. At the same time, that doesn't mean that the Blues can't win this thing. And, you know, Blues have gone out to San Jose and put on a clinic before. They went down to Dallas and put on a clinic in Game 7. But to lose a Game 7 at home, a win away from the Stanley Cup Finals, would be, you know.
It's so hard to get to the Finals. It's so hard to win a Stanley Cup. The Blues had two gut-wrenching series. I mean, to me, when are you going to be in a position where it's this close again? You could be the best team in the NHL and lose in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Happens all the time.
Washington Capitals this year could tell you about that. The Blues in 2000 could tell you about that. Ryan Kelly is on the line. The Seamaster says you are chipper today, Ryan.
No, don't believe everything he says. I figured I got to do something to cheer you up. I don't know what to do. A lot of sad people around St. Louis, and I get it. I'm one of them. You know, really wanted to see that win last night, and it didn't happen. So back to the Shark Tank we go. You guys know the story. You've been talking about it all morning. I don't need to redo it. But I don't know how to cheer people up other than one thing: I save people money. That's so I got a job. I'm really good at saving people money. The current mortgage rate's not in the twos. I can probably cheer you up today. Give me a call. Let's see if we can save you a few $100 a month on that mortgage payment. Do it with no out-of-pocket costs, and either make it where you skip 2 full months of mortgage payments. How can you beat that going into the summer break? I'm Ryan Kelly. I'm the home loan expert, and you can call me directly. I'll work you up options right now, 314-781-9700. 781-9700, always online at thehomeloanexpert.com. My company is The Home Loan Expert, LLC. Boys, thanks for letting me jump on with you this morning. I'll hang up now.
Thank you very much, Ryan. Good. Appreciate it. There he is, our title sponsor, The Home Loan Expert, Ryan Kelly, with his hopefully upbeat and uplifting message for Blues fans who want to get their rates down in the twos. Doug, I didn't say threes.
Now, would you rather get your rate down in the twos or have the Blues win the Stanley Cup?
Blues win the Stanley Cup.
You would? What about how about a zero interest mortgage rate or the Blues win the Stanley Cup?
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a good question.
It really kind of cuts right to the quick.
Now you got me. I'll think about that while I welcome Matt Lawler to the fan page. Oh, well. Dean Kasinger's on board now, Doug. So is Tommy Shane Ryan.
Hello,
and
Ryan.
Travis Laramie. And Patty McHugh is now part of it.
Patty McHugh, nice. That's a good get.
Scott Yanta, Billy Bart. Wasn't he a munchkin?
It was Billy Barty, wasn't it?
Well, he's now part of the fan page.
You know who you should get for your fan page is Scott Yanta.
We got him.
You got him.
I believe I heard his name.
Oh. Chris Calcaterra. Christina Willefort. How about all these women?
They're men masquerading as girls, Tim, just to try desperately to get some attention. That's all that it is.
Chris Stein. Rich Boll.
Rich Boll?
That's right.
How does he spell it?
B-A-L-L.
Oh, that is Boll.
Dom Bergfeld. Tommy Bergfeld.
Okay.
Steve Benway. And Kyle Ellebrecht. John Hellingstein. Didn't he sponsor the WWE recap in 2011?
I think he did.
And then Kyle Ellebrecht, if I didn't say it. Doug, we welcome them all to the family that is. The wonderful family that is.
All right. How many members are you up to now?
2,807.
What's the goal? 6,000?
You know, that little dialect that you do, sometimes it creeps into my head. Like last night, La Stella was a pinch hitter, and all I could hear you was going, Tommy La Stella.
Tommy La Stella.
They have a big crowd at the ballpark.
They did. A lot of people got rides after the drivers got free buffets.
Oh, nice.
Sweet.
Yeah.
The Cat, if you want to watch the Blues, if you want to watch the Cardinals, you can do so at the Post Sports Bar and Grill.
See, my thing, Tim, is if you can't get to the game in person, you get to the Post Sports Bar and Grill. Blues playoff games, Cardinal games, get to the Post. Great specials for Blues playoff games. They got great deals on 22-ounce domestic drafts. Free Blue Note shot every time Alexander Steen gets a goal. And 20% off your bill when you show Blues ticket stub to the day to the game of that day. And then the same goes for every Cardinals game. They have great specials on the 22-ounce domestic drafts, great Cardinal ticket giveaways during Tuesday and Friday games, and a free Redbird shot every time Grichuk hits a homer like he had the walk-off last night.
Walk it off, Doug.
You were drinking for free. The Post Sports Bar and Grill, Manchester in Maplewood, and the new location in Creve Coeur at Olive and Old Ballas. Stay posted, my friends.
Tim, how do you feel about the Lou Fest lineup? Doug, have you had a chance to take a look?
I have not looked at the lineup yet.
I see Joe Roderick's talking about it on the TMA fan page on Facebook. They just announced it this morning. Headliners, LCD Sound System, Chris Stapleton, and Ms. Lauryn Hill. Now, I know her from when she was with the Fugees and she was Lauryn Hill, but now she's Ms. Lauryn Hill. Do you like that, Doug?
No. No. Why did she have to add the Ms.?
I don't know.
Make her sound a little bit more fancy?
Yeah.
Fancy pants. I don't think it was necessary. I don't think it was necessary at all.
Band of Harses?
I don't know. Not familiar with that work.
Big Gigantic? The Kills?
They're swinging a miss.
Buddy again. Guy. How about the legendary Buddy Guy?
Old guy.
Who is that?
What does he do? Trumpet player?
Shaky Graves, St. Lucia, or is it St. Lucia?
Shecky Green? Did you say Shecky Green is coming?
Shaky Graves.
Shaky Graves.
I'd like to see an appearance by Toto. Are they on the list?
I don't see them here. Vince Staples, Greenski Bluegrass.
Well, how many acts do they need?
Greenski.
You've said like 10.
Oh, there's like 30.
Well, for heaven's sakes.
What about Greenski?
I'm not not familiar there. Guy.
Text in your thoughts, 314-880-0808. Juan from PP Corp, do you know him?
No, I don't.
Tim, how you feeling about that Lou Fest lineup? How about we go check out that Vince Staples?
What's he saying, Tim?
The hell
I'm not familiar
Vince
with
Staples?
Him. Juan from PP Corp's a fan.
Stapleton's a big name.
Yeah.
He's the headline attraction?
Well, at least in order of the list, he would be second. LCD Sound System's listed first. Ms. Lauryn Hill, I mean, it depends on the
Bobby
day.
Bobby Vinton probably won't be here.
Oh, he's going to be here.
Bobby Vinton has to be 80 years old.
Yeah, but he can still bring it.
Yep.
She wore blue velvet.
Bluer than velvet were her eyes.
And that will be at Forest Park?
Oh,
he'll be
gosh,
performing
I hope
it?
So. Yeah.
That's a party, mm-hmm. Bobby Vinton.
Guys, Lou Fest sounds like a PC bro douche fest. I bet the brawler will be there. Thanks, Mr. McDowell. The brawler takes a shot from Mr. McDowell.
Yeah. Well, this Mr. McDowell, he usually knows what he's talking about.
Wait, so you can read that list and know that it's a PC bra fest? Is that what he said?
PC bro douche fest is what it was called by Mr. McDowell.
I don't want to get suspended by being vile.
Seriously, Doug, Buddy Guy actually is a legend.
What does he do? Do you know?
I've heard the name.
Okay, well, if he's a legend, what does he do?
Well, it's interesting because, like, if you don't know someone's name, you go, hey, buddy, or you go, hey, guy, it's Buddy Guy.
Blues guitarist, 76 years old.
All right. Sorry.
Lou Fest is a bet week this year. Not one of those groups has done a cover of Hot Cross Bun.
No, they really haven't.
I thought Buddy Guy did, but it was an instrumental.
Well, he is a jazz guitarist and a legend from what I'm told.
I know a lot about Vin Staples, and he's great. Thanks. That's from Honest Mr. Williams. Is CNC Music Factory coming this year? Thanks. That's from the
troll.
They
should, after what Matt Adams did last night. That walk, you know what he is? He's 6-for-13 with a couple of bombs, thanks to that walk-up music. A
couple of pinch taters, too, right?
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Pinch taters. That's like, is that like 9 pinch taters they've had this year?
9. Crazy.
Guys, I know Lauryn Hill's producer. His name is Da Vinci. That comes from Sir Ian McKellen's thirst for boy juice.
Yeah, yikes. You can't say that. You can't say it.
Suspend him for his name, Doug.
Okay, who was it, Tim?
Sir Ian McKellen's thirst for boy juice.
I think he just likes hearing it, Tim.
Sir Ian McKellen's thirst for boy juice. You've been suspended. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. Your name is going to the Ragazzi's handsome suspension logo. You know what day this is? Tuesday. You know what that means?
Steam table?
Nope. Awesome fried chicken. Tuesday night, all you can eat fried chicken.
Oh, they should bring some.
All you can eat.
Tim, excuse me, Tim. Going to take so much X at Lou Fest that I'd be able to act like I recognize one act at Lou Fest. Thanks. It's from the 314.
Well, that's not the point. You go to Lou Fest to really celebrate St. Louis as a whole, greater, proper,
Greater, proper, That's what we're calling our region now?
Yeah.
St. Louis, greater, proper,
I'll be at the Lou Fest, whenever it is.
You won't.
September 10th and September 11th at Forest Pack.
I use the same blanket every year, and I pick the same spot. And I just celebrate the St. Louis area greater proper.
Proper, yeah. I don't think you go. I don't think you go at all. I've never been. I've never been.
Why? You're too good for it.
No. For whatever reason, I've just never been.
I mean, if they have another Go-Go's reunion like they had on the Billboard Awards, you would be there.
Yeah.
Boy, that was rough. The reunion of the Go-Go's, and it did look like it looked like the Golden Girls. I felt good for them because, God bless, I'm an old man. Now.
Come on, Doug. Buddy Guy's a blues legend. He has a popular club in downtown Chicago.
I don't doubt it. I'm just saying I don't know who he is. There's a lot of legends I don't know who they are.
Well, blues guitar isn't necessarily your thing. Not You're really, more of a xylophone. Right.
Yeah, show tunes, xylophones and show tunes. That's my bailiwick there.
Jeremy Roenick, 845, Kelly Chase, 905, coming up here on the program. We welcome you to get involved. In the meantime, the focal point of the discussion today, the Blues losing, and also the Lou Fest lineup.
Why couldn't they get men at work? I mean, isn't it about time?
Buddy Guy took their spot. They wanted desperately to be here, but Guy said, nah, I'm a legend. I insist on playing. Okay, Buddy Guy.
Yo, Mr. Magoo, suck my... And then it's the word you would expect to be there, and that's from the Barnhart Brawler. It sounds like he is upset.
Yeah, we don't care for the language. Barnhart Brawler, you've been suspended for the language. You've been suspended a period of 2 days' time. You're a raging liberal, but that language is not welcome up in here.
Mr. McDowell is back. He says, Lou Fest will be one thick-ass collection of shrubbery. Believe that.
I like that.
You think there'll be a lot of shrubs there?
Now, how will you know? People will be fully clothed, Tim.
If they wear those blousy shorts, sometimes things pop out.
I don't think so.
Doug, Mizzou plays Eastern Michigan on September 10th. Should I go to that or Lou Fest?
I'd go to the football game.
Wow, you really hate this Buddy Guy.
I don't hate Buddy Guy. I wouldn't know Buddy Guy if he walked in that door right now. I'm sorry.
How great would it be?
Not a blues
good
guitar.
Football teams. Those college teams are good, huh? What are you going to do this year? I think pretty good stuff, huh?
There's our next president.
Mr. Trump, I put together a list of talking points. I probably wouldn't talk about the college football in this.
See how much better he's doing in the polls now? The numbers are just changing drastically.
Because as soon as he starts attacking someone, they go down in the polls.
Yeah.
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great.
Don't say it.
How's Joe Paterno? No. We going to bring that back, right? How about that whole deal?
I love that because you can analyze. There's like a new twist every time you listen to it. Like I can hear him go, "Oop!" Like he knew he made a faux pas.
Probably
Oop.
Some Penn State victims in the crowd. There were victims in the crowd, and they heard that, and they just couldn't take it.
I better say something like, "How about that whole deal?"
That's the next leader of the free world.
Tim, why are the Indigo Girls not playing Lou Fest? We could call it Trib Fest. Thanks. That's from Kind of Ginger Guy.
Kind of Ginger. His hair is reddish, but not completely.
No. That's what it seems like he means. Let's see. Nope.
Well, you can say that. You can make fun of gingers, and you can tell blonde jokes. They're not politically protected.
Who what, brunettes? You're not allowed to?
No, you couldn't say there was a girl with dark hair and she was really stupid. You couldn't say that. That'd be totally politically incorrect. You can say stupid blonde jokes, but you can't say there was this girl with really dark hair. Listen how stupid she was. You couldn't do that.
Watch this. Hey, Tim.
Huh?
I was at the game, and there was a lady with dark hair. I think she was a brunette, and she wasn't so smart.
Careful.
Yikes.
Careful.
Yikes.
Tim, what do you got over there? Sexy
Careful.
Oranges? What do you got, sexy oranges?
I do have sexy oranges. Doug, would you like a sexy orange?
Sure.
Really?
Well, what's
I wasn't
yours?
Expecting to take
no,
up.
I would like
the worst when you offer someone out of politeness.
Yeah.
And they accept.
And now you're rescinding the offer, aren't you?
Big Al's on the line.
Oh, hello, Al.
Can you give my defenseman some sexy oranges? Because obviously none of them can check in front of me, and none of them can do anything except skate around like the Ice Follies. When I'm holding my glove up after a shot's in my net, that means I can't see. You know why? What? Because I got the likes of Bomeister, I got the likes of Petro, and I got the likes of Parayko standing there in front of me, and I can't see. So either block the damn puck or get out of the way.
Okay.
Because when I look total shocked, that means I didn't see it. And if you're in front of me, you either block it or let me get a shot at it. Okay? And can we get a little more effort this time?
You're being condescending now. You're being condescending.
That was like Doug Vaughn on a late-night sportscast.
Mm.
Poor.
Mm. You're being condescending now.
Well, I'm sorry, Doug, and that's a joke, but I'm not happy, as you can tell. I'm telling you what, they're lucky I'm not riding one of them nags at Fairmont. One of them had died today from horse whipping. I'm so mad at them. But I'll tell you what, this is poor. And I'll tell you, now we're up against the wall. So you know what, Blues?
What?
You're always, we'll be good in the next one, Terry Yake. You can't cover up that smoking pile of cat kitty.
Okay.
So let me show me something different, boys, and come back to Game 7, because I said it was in the bag, but I didn't know my defenseman would abandon me like Cat does when the check comes. That's not happening.
Nice. Anti-Semitic?
So,
now, come on, Al. They beat the defending champions. They beat the Western Conference champions, and now they're in a Game 6, and you've given up on them? They're making you mad?
Really? Whoop-de-doo, Doug. What have you done for me today? Have you heard Hitchcock say that? And when they asked him last night about the goaltending, you know what he said?
What?
Defensive problem. 7 times. Never said nothing
about me.
Don't
ring your own bell.
He said 7 times a defensive effort, which means that I had no help in front of me, and my goal scorers are skating around. And they won't hit the Sharks, so they act like they got the Zika. So, you know what? Show me a better game, boys. Otherwise, pack it up and go home.
Okay.
I mean,
now, what if they win tomorrow night? What's
then
the tune going
to
be then?
We'll go to Game 7, and if they lay another turd on the ice like they do for every home game, then here we go again, and I'll be ranting on them all year. But I'm going to tell you something. There's no excuse for that, especially at home. And when they score the goal, where's my defenseman? I'm on the bench. You pulled me, okay? And they're skating around, passing the puck and looping it in. My defensemen are at the blue line waiting for an outlet pass from who?
Now, wait a minute. Al, you actually were in goal. Is that what?
Well, mentally I was.
All right.
And I am. My name's Alan, too, so. But I was there with them. But I'm going to tell you, deflection, you watch every goal, and you tell me how many were my fault. How many? One?
No, you were not in goal, none were your fault.
Mentally, I was.
Actually, all right.
I imagined myself. So I got to, I actually, like, I was in his body running around, skating around.
I got
mentally. But one goal was my fault, and the rest of them were either deflections or I was screened. So, Bomeister, go get a pretzel, get off the ice. I can't see. Get out in front of the net and block somebody and cross-check them or get out of the way.
Don't you think they were trying to block the puck?
No.
I mean, it's going almost 100 miles an hour at times. You can't always block it.
Oh,
Doug, I can't go into this. My blood pressure's going up. Doug, okay, you may be trying to, but I'm trying to make $1 million, and I haven't made it yet, okay? So either do it or get out of the way.
Yeah, Doug.
So, okay. I mean, you can't.
Well, since you put it that way.
You know, block it. Go down. Don't just stand there. Go down. Get out of my way or put your pads on it. Do something besides just standing there. And all of a sudden, I hear, and I look in the net, and the Sharks are going, yay. And my defense is looking at me going, sorry. Yeah, me too.
Oh,
I'm sorry I don't have a better pair of defensemen skating around. Have a good day.
Don't ring your own bell.
I like it. Sal's not happy with you.
No.
He was in goal, and apparently you were playing defense last mm-hmm. night.
Okay. Doug, just real quick, Mark Standage.
Standage, okay.
Chuck Green.
Chucky.
Shawnee O'Brien. John Hildreth. Mark Jaskiewicz. Greg Pelster. Jennifer Sheldon, another lady. Wow, look at this.
Mm-hmm. Every woman that signs up, mm-hmm. we have to announce as if it's
They're all great. Leggy blondes. Many of them recently off a stint with Victoria's Secret modeling tour.
Jason Alleg.
I don't know these names, Tim.
Robbie Corcoran, welcome aboard. Oh, and Chuck Green. We didn't forget about you.
No, you said his name already.
Hey, Chucky.
Click through.
Hey, Chucky.
No.
Welcome aboard, Chucky. I'll see you on the fan page.
Guys, can Big Al jump off the Chain of Rocks? What a schlub. Mallet in St. Peter.
Is that even still there, the Chain of Rocks Bridge? I thought they blew that up.
Al, please go run into a knife. That's from the 636. Tell this douchebag to shut the hell up before I shove my fist down his pie hole. That's the South Side.
Oh, Al won't like that.
No. Make it stop. You're complicit in this, Timmy. Everything always goes back to me. Mm-hmm. Boy, Larry looks like he's put on some weight, Tim. Yep. Don't know what to tell you.
Well, you're feeding him.
Boy, Roderick doesn't have a ton of followers for the amount of tweets, Tim. Tim.
Brian Henson chiming in from South Dakota.
Yeah, sure.
Goal three was kind of soft. Allen overplayed the blocker side, couldn't recover quickly enough. They also blocked 19 shots. Brian Henson. How about, like, about 2 minutes into the game where just a little innocent shot goes squibbling by and almost went past Allen, mm-hmm. and you're going, that didn't look right.
No.
I don't know if that was an indicator or just a fluke, but, man, that did not look right. It almost went in. That would have been pay-attention Roman-esque.
Well, he's played before last night a grand total of one game in the last month and a half. I can't imagine he was terribly sharp. Can't imagine he's at his best.
F. Mary Kill, Go-Go's, Bangles, the Andrews sisters.
I wouldn't kill any of them. You can't tell me that I have to kill the Andrews sisters.
I think you have to.
They might be dead already.
I mean, that'll make it less painful.
That was the 40s, right? 40s and 50s?
All right, then instead of doing that game, who would you rather have over for lunch, Andrews sisters or the Go-Go's?
At Bindi Carlisle, I think, can eat.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Can't you? Well, she was quite the hot number in her day.
She was.
I guess I'd go for the Go-Go's because Bindi was quite the hot number in her day.
She's not big now. She's just a little older.
She did that Playboy.
You didn't see them perform at the...
I did not.
They were at the pageant last year, the year before.
Really?
Who is it? Shakira, that's the big deal?
Oh, I like Shakira.
No, it was Rihanna. Rihanna, while the Go-Go's were performing, they did cut away the crowd, and Rihanna was like... This isn't good. She wasn't even watching.
Really?
Why was I watching the billboards? Because I am not the boss when I am home.
Sup, Rihanna. Sup, Tim. Sup, Riri. Awesome. It's awesome.
Those award shows are fun to watch. Yeah. I mean, Hollywood needs more of a chance to pat itself on the back all the time.
I just didn't have control of my domain. I was forced to watch America's Funniest Home Videos. Off the DVR, which is never a fun experience.
Oh, I like the show.
It's horrible. And it makes me embarrassed to be an American.
Jeremy Roenick's going to join us here in a matter of moments on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. We'll get his perspective on Game 5 and what's to come here in Game 6. I know Jeremy Roenick on the pregame show said he expected a good night from the San Jose Sharks, and his prediction was accurate. As San Jose goes up 3-2. So we will get his perspective in a matter of moments. And then at 9:05, Kelly Chase, presented by GFI Digital. Doug, Bert Early Cutlery, a great sponsor of this radio program, the sponsor of the Cuts of the Week. Do you know anything about them whatsoever?
Scissor City, Tim. Bert Early Scissor City. If you've got scissors and they're not real sharp, this is where you should take them. Knife Haven. This is another name that we use for Bert Early Cutlery. If your knives aren't very sharp, you take them to Bert Early. They'll be sharp. You know, they've also got a paper company now. Register paper, gloves, to-go containers, trash can liners. They're branching out. They're doing a little bit of everything. Bertarelli is known for selling fine equipment for the domestic and professional kitchen, all your favorite kitchen tools, gadgets, and gizmos from the names you love and trust. They've got quality products at quality prices. A wider range of sharpening solutions for the professional kitchen. They sharpen service knives, slicer blades, mixers, just about anything you can think of. They service all major brands of food prep equipment. No business is too small or too big for their family service. Highest quality cutting boards on the market. So go visit them on the Hill. Check out their showroom and mention Bertarelli Cutlery, mention our show here, and receive one free knife sharpening with a $5 in-store purchase. So if you say, hey, I heard this on the morning after, they'll give you one free knife sharpening with a $5
in-store
purchase.
Bertarelli Cutlery
on the Hill.
Sponsor of the Cuts of the Week, Jeremy Roenick, in a matter of seconds. Kelly Chase in a matter of about 20 minutes here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Already joined by Terry Yake. He says go with Brian Elliott tomorrow. It's already, in his mind, done. And you ride Elliott the rest of the way. You got him 5 days off. Now he goes out there, and it's in his hands.
I feel good about that. I feel very good about that. It did work out well. That now you can go back to Elliott. He'll be fresh, and hopefully he can recapture some of what he was doing in the postseason where he was a stonewall, Doug.
Mm-hmm. I saw him the other night off the ice down there by the locker room when he had a full gear on, had the skates on and everything, all the goalie pants. He looked like he was 6'5", 350 pounds with everything on. It's no wonder it's hard to beat these guys.
Mammoth. You ever see what he does before a game? He takes that little rubber ball and just throws it against the wall and catches it. They say that that's getting the eyes ready to track pucks.
All right.
I do that in World Series of Poker.
There you go.
We bounce a ball against the wall.
Right, with a bunch of other guys on Adderall.
When all you really have to do is accept the cards that's shuffled to you, dealt your way.
And be a sharp.
That's right. Have you ever been upset with a dealer who didn't deal just the way you
liked it? No, I've never. That's something that goes on, and I don't understand. I guess if a dealer screws up, I guess. I don't know. I don't know if I get that angry about it, though. But I've definitely been witness to it.
You sit there with headphones on, listen to music?
No. Play on my phone. Talk about myself. Standard.
Yeah, that never changes.
Right.
No matter what you're doing, there's still the opportunity to pat yourself on the
right.
back and let everyone else know just how cool you are.
Thank you.
When do you think that they would ban cell phones?
You can't be on your phone during a hand, but if you're out of the hand with no cards in front of you, you can. I mean, if it's sitting there for 13 hours without the ability
to phone. If I ran a poker tournament, and as you know, I'm in talks to
I do know that.
The Jim Hayes Open, I would ban it totally because it's disrespectful. I want everyone focused on the hand, even if you're out. You can't be playing around on your phone. No cell phones at my table.
That'd be hard for people to do.
That's right.
Really, what you're there for is to try to make money off these people. And if you're going to give them a reason not to show up, that'd be bad business.
Watch this. Make money, money, make money, money, money.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, but once I put my name on a poker tournament, a lot of the big-time players will want to play. Phil Helmuth has been pushing me toward this for
now. Without their phone, they wouldn't want to play. You can't go without your phone.
Jason Glaze, welcome.
Glazy.
Charlie Hopkins.
Oh, Hopsy.
Ben Lambeck.
Hello, Benny.
Matt Allen. Josh Warren. All new members, Doug.
Okay.
Of the TMA fan page on Facebook. Why don't you come on in? The water is warm. Wow.
What is your reaction going to be when you see Matt Holliday pop up there?
I'm surprised he already isn't in there, actually. Somebody's posted a picture of Weezer at Costco.
Oh, we haven't seen Weezer in a while. Is he working or shopping?
I don't know. It's weird.
Costco is supposed to be a pretty good place to work. They pay their people pretty well.
This question was just posed. This is kind of a weird question, but have any of you ever attended a sporting event alone?
No.
Well, I would say as a reporter, I have. I've gone
That's
there
not
as a
the
fan.
Same. That was the question. Jeremy Roenick is our guest here on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. Jeremy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
I think the city is a little depressed this morning with what took place last night. I was watching your comments on NBC Sports Network pregame, and you expected the Sharks to come out with a big response following their performance in San Jose in Game 4. And that really didn't come in the early going. But once they got that power play goal late in the second period, it seemed like they had restored some form of dominance that they displayed in games 2 and 3, and the Blues just didn't have many opportunities, relatively speaking, in the third period. Ken Hitchcock and Joe Thornton both said that goal that made it 3-3 was a huge, huge goal in this game.
It was a huge goal, and if you watch that first period, a lot of us in the studio felt that San Jose carried the first period. And, I mean, there's obviously it's debate, but, you know, I think San Jose did come out a little bit faster. But St. Louis capitalized on their opportunities a little bit better than San Jose did. Came out with a 2-1 lead. So, you know, it's obviously a debate, but San Jose did exactly what we thought they were going to do. They came out and played a better hockey game, and St. Louis made too many mistakes. And against the San Jose Sharks, you can't do that, and ended up costing them. And I agree, that third goal and the mistake that they made behind the net ended up being the big difference.
One of the big questions going around about the series, more so, I guess, here in St. Louis, is what is going on with Vladimir Tarasenko? What are you seeing?
I'm seeing a guy who's a little bit frustrated, and a guy who's, for the most part, in the last couple of years, has had success and has come to him. And in a very, very big situation, and key situation, I think the pressure is getting to him where he's starting to second guess himself. And he's so good and has so many great qualities and traits about his game that he's not using, because I think he's waiting for that goal to come rather than going out and making that goal happen, which great goal scorers do. And he's working hard, but it's almost like he's working hard in the wrong direction, which is it's a tough balance in both of those. But I love that Vladimir Tarasenko. I love the way he plays. But right now he's waiting for the puck to come to him rather than going into the places where he knows the puck is coming. And he's second guessing himself before he shoots the puck, and it's not coming off with the same velocity that it usually does.
Yeah, there's some games he gets six or seven shots. He had one last night. He doesn't even seem to be around the play a lot. That's what
correct.
It's so odd.
Correct, and that's the difference. Is he's not going to the real high traffic areas that he usually does, and you know when that happens, you're going to get good breaks. He's not getting good breaks right now, and he's waiting for somebody to set him up. To absolutely put that puck in a stick rather than take it into his own hands and getting the puck to create his own options or getting into that open ice to score a goal. And the perfect example is Joe Pavelski. You watch Joe Pavelski work and watch where his area of work normally is, and it's all within a 20 to 30 foot diameter around the goal crease. You see him popping into places where he knows Joe Thornton is going to hit him. But he makes it easy for Joe Thornton to find him because he really quickly darts into a place and gets a shot off. He goes right to the front of the net and gets the tip like he did last night.
And
he does all those little things that Tarasenko is not doing right now.
And Troy Brouwer seems to be playing that way a little bit for the Blues, where I don't think anybody saw him scoring 8 goals in the postseason, but he always seems to be right there with the puck, close to the net.
Amazing. He's an amazing playoff for a very gritty, gutsy guy. Troy Brouwer is – I love watching Troy Brouwer play because I love his competitiveness, but the way he's played in the playoffs and has really brought a new – I think level to his game to help his team has been so impressive.
It's almost odd to say, but the Blues are looking for a little jump by getting away from Scott Trade and going to San Jose. I guess that's the way it is in playoff hockey, where home ice doesn't mean that much. But how do you see Game 6 going?
You know, it's kind of surprising to me because I've always been a believer that home ice is key. It hasn't been key, especially in these playoffs. I mean, I think there's more teams have lost with home ice advantage than have won so far. And now both teams that are on the verge of winning are both, you know, not just the underdogs, but haven't had home ice advantage. And I don't know what it is about the Blues. And I said it in my pregame last night, too. They're yet to put two really solid games back-to-back, and especially at home. they got to change something in the preparation because it's not working, whatever they're doing.
Would you expect to see Brian Elliott back in Game 6?
I would. I really would. I think Brian Elliott has been so good the second half of the season when he's been healthy, and I think he's been very good during the playoffs. I think it's up to his team to play better in front of him. I love Ken Hitchcock's comments about relying on Elliott. I would rely on him again. It's not that Allen was terrible. He wasn't terrible, but he just wasn't as good as Elliott. I would go right back to Elliott and try to bring this back to Game 7.
How do you think this thing is going to shake out? Do you think the Blues can win two straight, or do you think San Jose wins this?
Well, I think the odds are against St. Louis, and obviously what you've seen with San Jose all year, they're the best road team in the National Hockey League for the past 20, 25 years. They put up amazing numbers. Now they're starting to play very well at home. But the St. Louis Blues are a very gutsy, gritty hockey team, and they're very, very well coached. I definitely put the odds in San Jose's favor, but it would not surprise me if St. Louis found a way to grind out a win on the road because they have played well on the road and come back home. And we saw what happened when they push it to a Game 7, like against Chicago, where they find a way to grind out another one-goal win. It's going to be tough for them, but I couldn't predict this series to start with, and it's still hard today, even with San Jose up 3-2.
Jeremy, how hard is it for you personally to put your playing career behind you? I mean, as long as you played for the Blackhawks and the duels you had with the Blues, and then you finished up with the Sharks, and you got to be, impartial. Is that a hard thing to do?
You know, thank you for that question. It was a fantastic question, and it is so difficult as a guy who played the game the way I did. I was so passionate about the teams that I played for, and love the game so much on a nightly basis. It is very, very hard to be impartial. It's very hard to go out there and be as fair as I want to be. Obviously, I'm a huge San Jose Sharks fan. They pretty much saved my life, to tell you the truth, Doug Wilson and the Sharks. I tend to be nicer to them, but I tell the game as it is. I have no problem saying if the Sharks are bad. The Sharks were probably the worst I've ever seen them in the playoffs this year in game number 4. And I have no problem with that. But it's really difficult. I have people on Twitter, calling me a homer and say that I'm biased and all that stuff. I might be biased in my living room. I might be biased in the bar watching with my buddies. But I am not biased at all. When I'm in the studio, I tell it like I see it, and sometimes I have to say things that I don't want to say, but I have to say. So thanks for asking that question. I appreciate it.
Nice, yeah. Good answer, too. Introspective answer, so to speak. You can listen to Jeremy Roenick on his podcast, which is Roenick Life, and a friend of the show, Matthew Barnaby, is going to be a guest.
Barney was great. He said a lot of fun stories, and he's one of the better personalities that the NHL has had. So I appreciate that plug very, very much.
Yeah, no problem, man. The Roenick Life podcast, highly recommended for hockey fans throughout North America. Jeremy, great stuff, man. Looking forward to it. Hopefully a couple of more games here between the Blues and Sharks. And thanks for joining us this morning on the show. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks again, guys.
There he is. Jeremy Roenick with us on the Appliance Discounters phone lines. Good question. You don't know which kind of answer you're going to get on a question like that, but because some guys might be hypersensitive to it because they know they catch it all the time. Yeah. It's the nature of the beast. If you're in that national position and you have fans on both sides, and when their team doesn't win, they take it out on the broadcasters. We've seen that, name whatever sport. That's the way that it goes. So clearly that was something that's been in his craw, and I see on his Twitter feed a few days ago, he wrote, as you can see, I'm feisty today, just like I played. Haters will hate no matter what. Doesn't mean I'm not right. Again, my analysis.
Yeah, we didn't like him much here when he played for the Blackhawks. He drove the Blues crazy for a year, for a long time. He was like the best player they had.
He was good on Sega, though.
He was good everywhere. He drove us crazy here. But when you watch him, I don't pick up any bias at all when you watch him analyze games.
Congratulations on that great question.
Nicely done, Doug. Our Stanley Cup playoff coverage here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Enjoy a cold, frosty Bud Light, Doug. Oh, my. Memorial Day weekend, ponied up. Oh, you're enjoying it. You take a look at the forecast on your weather app, and you see thunderstorms in the forecast for the next 8 days.
Nice.
Woot, woot. Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Kelly Chase joining us, brought to you by GFI Digital. And we'll cap off the 9 o'clock hour with the email of the day. Only five more shows in the month of May. Steven Wildwood. Unbelievable what he is doing. Kind of like, you know, some people said it's like the Raptors. You know, people are focused on KD. People focus on Steph and the Dubs. Okay. People focus on LeBron. Nobody's talking about the Raptors. All of a sudden, they're the Raptors. Hey, they six wins away just like everybody else.
Hey, you have to talk that way when you talk NBA?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing. I just don't know what I'm doing.
No.
Well, you got sexy oranges. That's a good
one. I do. I might have one in the break. Doug, would you like one?
Yes, please.
Oh,
crap.
So, okay, no.
All right,
thank
cool.
you.
Thanks.
I'm good.
Kelly Chase next.